All right, so if you'd like to open up your Bibles, we're in Matthew chapter 6. But I want to start with a question for the kids. So I was really excited to see a picture last week from one home where the kids were all kind of, you know, huddled around the living room watching me up on the wall, which is kind of weird. But you know, with kids like that in mind, I did have a question I wanted to ask you. So when I say the word secret, what comes to mind for you? Do you have maybe a friend, like a best friend, that you can trust with secrets and you guys don't tell anybody else? Have you ever had like a secret hideout or a secret place to, you know, hide, you know, treasures or something like that? Maybe you've wanted to be a secret agent or even a ninja who was like so sneaky you could kind of walk along and nobody would even see you. I wonder, if you were a secret agent, what would your mission be? Would you have secret meetings with your commander where you'd kind of, you know, meet in a secret location and he'd give you your instructions, you know, your training, your mission details? Well, what would I tell you? Or what would you think if I told you that Jesus calls you to be a secret agent? And Jesus does call you to secret meetings, to be with him for training. And then he sends you out to carry out secret missions that are so sneaky, he says even your left hand isn't supposed to know what your right hand is doing. And if you have time with your parents, maybe in the evening, where you guys get together and you read the Bible together and you pray together, that's great, and I hope you do that always. But God also wants to have secret meetings with you. He wants to have times when nobody else is watching, where you talk to him and listen to his instructions in the Bible, and then you go out and do loving things that he sends you to do, which maybe nobody finds out about. Now, hopefully, if you're not a kid anymore, you know just what I'm talking about. Hopefully you do keep your secret meetings with God. And we'll talk about how those secret meetings fits into a larger picture of your life of faith. But can I suggest that right now is a really important time to renew that relationship with your Father in secret? I mean, times of solitude. I'm sorry, I keep bumping this microphone. That's got to be deafening. Times of solitude have always been crucial for a relationship with God. But especially right now, when you take away some of our corporate times of worship, and you really have to take a look at how much is there when nobody else is watching. So this is what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen or who is in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." So if we take Jesus' words here seriously, this time of social distancing could actually be a really rich time of fellowship with God. Maybe it could teach us what he's been trying to teach us all along, to surrender the praise of the world, to seek the richer reward of God in secret. So what motivates you when nobody else is watching? Jesus introduces this whole section by saying, "Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven." And then three times at the beginning of each of these smaller sections, he tells you what a hypocrite looks like. When the hypocrite does something, if they do something kind for others, they blow a trumpet so that everybody knows. When they pray, they stand on the street corner to be seen. When they fast, they walk around looking like they're starving. Why? Because for them, the whole point is to be praised by others. I mean, what's the point of fasting, they say, if no one knows that I did it? For a hypocrite, the whole point is human recognition, being respected and admired by others. Jesus offers a completely different way of practicing your faith for a totally different reason. He says, when you give, when you pray, when you fast, make sure nobody knows that you're doing it. Because the point is not to be admired by others, but to please God. And frankly, Jesus isn't really concerned about you being a ninja. He doesn't care how sneaky you can be about doing good deeds, as he is concerned about what kind of heart you have when you're doing them. If your heart is drawn towards being recognized by others, that's all the reward you get. But if your heart is drawn toward God, that's where the greater and richer reward comes from. Now, maybe it sounds superficial to talk about doing spiritual things for the sake of getting a reward, but when the reward is eternal joy in a loving relationship with God for eternity, I think that's exactly the kind of reward that Jesus wants us to pursue wholeheartedly. So in Hebrews 12 it says, "For the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." If you want to talk about surrendering the praise of the world for a richer reward, Jesus wins the prize at that. I mean, both the Jewish government and the Roman government agreed to condemn him to death as a criminal. They took the very title of king that was supposed to be for his glory, and instead they used it to mock him. They stripped him naked, hung him to a post, and hung him up by the side of the road to die slowly, while they hurled insults at him. You can't get much lower by worldly standards than that. But that is why God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. By his death, Jesus achieved eternal life for us so that we could follow his example of living for a completely different standard of reward. This whole social distancing thing that we're in the middle of is very disruptive for worldly achievements. It's bad for the economy. It's bad for your job, probably. It's bad for your finances. Bad for accomplishing the things that people can see that you feel good about, that make you feel greater in other people's eyes. This whole social distancing thing kind of takes that apart. But maybe that's exactly what your relationship with God needs right now. Maybe it's time that you stepped back from public view, back from the things that you pride yourself on, and see where things stand between you and God. Now, don't get me wrong, whole faith is both public and private, and we definitely need public faith. I mean, how can we be witnesses to the saving power of Jesus in the world if we're not letting our faith show in the world? Just one chapter back in Matthew chapter 5, so we're in Matthew chapter 6, if you go back a chapter, Jesus says to let your light shine before men so that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Now, is he contradicting himself? No, we need public faith that's not for our glory, but for God's. Corporate worship is also really important. Like Hebrews 10 says, do not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. And I had a really hard time giving up our corporate worship time on Sunday morning. Even, you know, my idea was, hey, we could just break up into groups of 10. And even that was considered not to be the safest, most prudent option. That was really hard for me. It still is. I think we really need each other. If you have a fire burning and you take one stick out of the fire and set it aside, that stick's going to go out. Likewise, your faith is going to die if you don't have a body of Christ to meet with, a family of faith to support you. And I'm really thankful for this digital means of connecting, as imperfect as it is. And Jesus is not trying to teach us the kind of privatized religion that our society loves, where nobody holds you accountable for what you believe or how you live, and you just kind of make it up as you go along in private. We need public faith. But we also need time to unpack our hearts alone with God. If our faith is only always about listening to other people tell us what we're supposed to believe, or even if our faith is only about having discussions about how, you know, generally speaking, we're all supposed to live, we'll never get down to the hard work of searching our own hearts, confessing our own sin, bringing our own needs to God, and finding that he doesn't just love us, he loves me. He knows me personally, and he's present in my life. We need those private times where it's just me and God, and he challenges my thinking. He brings his word to bear on my heart, and he shows me my mission in the world. So what can you do to pursue God in secret these days? We're going to look at each of the three ways that Jesus talks about here. So the first way Jesus talks about is acts of kindness. Now, our translations usually say something like giving to the needy or alms. Literally, it just means kindness or something like acts of mercy. Right about now, it's kind of hard to know what kind of contact people would welcome, what kind of contact people would feel was risky and threatening. So we want to be sensible, but I think it's safe to say that everyone could use a little kindness these days. Could you maybe run errands for people who are at risk because of their age or other health conditions? Can you make some phone calls to people in your neighborhood, just checking up on them, seeing if they need anything? Maybe you can share your food with someone or your toilet paper with somebody. I mean, I'm serious. Maybe somebody's not able to find it. We had a neighbor take care of us this week and share something that they had with us, and that was very meaningful. Now, maybe you don't see the needs right now. Maybe they're not pressing in right now, but as this thing stretches out more and more, and we don't know how long this is going to last, you might find people with some very serious needs. And whether that's a job or just a friend. So how is giving to somebody else or helping somebody else a secret thing? Because inevitably you have to bring somebody else into the conversation, right? Well, maybe you don't let them know that it's from you. Or maybe you do tell them it's from you because it's kind of hard to avoid. But you don't tell anybody else about it. You don't go blowing your own horn about it. Once again, the question is, what is the state of your heart? Are you looking for a thank you or to be seen as magnanimous? Or is this just something that God told you to do? And whether anybody else finds out about it or not is not the point. Because more than anything, this is something that God has called you to do with him in a relationship with him as an act of love. The second, probably the most obvious part of your secret relationship with God is prayer. And Jesus is by no means condemning public prayer. Jesus prayed in public several times. But Jesus also had a rich prayer life with the Father that none of us are ever going to get to hear what was said, because it was in secret. What he said in public was just the tip of the iceberg for Jesus. When do you nurture that private life of prayer with God? There are a lot of people that we can be praying for right now, and we should commit ourselves to praying for them. But prayer is also more than just asking for our needs. This is where Jesus teaches us the Lord's Prayer, which starts with, Father, your name be hallowed, your kingdom come, your will be done. So prayer is a time when we maintain our private worship, our own private seeking his will. And I don't think that Jesus would object to me including scripture reading and meditation under this category. Prayer is not only talking to God, telling him things, but it's also listening to him. When you open your Bible, do you expect to hear something from God that applies to your life right now? Now, if your house, like ours, is actually more crowded than usual these days, maybe going into your room and shutting the door, literally closing everybody else out, is the only way you're going to get that private time with God. Or maybe even that's not going to work, and you're going to have to leave the house, take a little walk, go outside where you can have a little bit of quiet time to yourself. Whatever you do, intentionally seize that time in secret to draw near to God. Now, what about this last category Jesus talks about, this last area of fasting? If you're like most people in the West today, you haven't ever done a whole lot with fasting. Literally abstaining from food, whether from one meal or two meals or a whole day or more. And if you have health issues, it might not be safe for you, though maybe you could do a short one, just like a one-meal fast. Even if you're healthy, you might find that fasting makes you grumpier than usual, especially if you're already more stressed than usual with the things being different. If you don't want to do food, you could fast from something else. You could fast from social media, which right now might be challenging. You might choose to fast from watching the news, fast from TV in general, which you might actually find incredibly refreshing. But fasting usually has one of two purposes, or maybe both. The first purpose to fast is to know God better. And this is what Jesus said when he said that a person doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. This is the scripture Jesus used when he was fasting and the devil was tempting him to eat. Basically, you're telling God, God, I need you more than I need food. This connection with you is more precious to me than my meals today. Or social media, or whatever. And you take the time that you'd normally be eating and you seek God in some way. The other purpose to fast is to pray specifically for a particular issue. Israel often fasted in moments of crisis, for example, when a lot of people's lives were at risk. Situations like this. Now, I'm not going to tell you to fast on a certain day, because the big point of this passage was not to let people know what you're doing. So I did actually post on Facebook this thing that City to City North America is doing. It's kind of led by Tim Keller, who's a pastor I read quite a bit and listen to. And he's calling a fast this Wednesday, April 1st. I don't think it's an April Fool's joke. Moreland's not a city exactly, but you can choose that day if you'd like to take the day to fast, pray, and ask God to work in our world. If you're interested in the idea of fasting, whether from food or social media or whatever, I encourage you to set aside time to pray for people who are struggling with this pandemic. And not just, I mean, you can pray for us, for people that, you know, are near you that might get the virus, might be at risk. But I encourage you especially to pray for people who already have it, for some of the hot spots around the world, like San Francisco and New York and Spain and Italy and China. Pray for places that don't have enough healthcare to keep up with what's going on, like Kenya. This is something that's hitting us all. And I encourage you to use this time to pray for people who have already lost loved ones or whose lives are in danger because of this. So I would encourage you, if you're interested in fasting during this time, to draw near to God as Jesus talks about, to make that part of your agenda in prayer to lift up our world and our crisis before God. Fasting for a purpose like this becomes a way of loving others in secret, a way of loving people that you may never meet. But you do it because God calls you to it, and because He calls you into a relationship of love with Him that overflows into love for others. And God can work powerfully through those prayers. How will you enrich your personal relationship with God during this time? There may be some way that God is suggesting to you to draw near to Him that we haven't talked about in our passage. Listen to Him. Again, this is not meant to undervalue corporate worship at all. It's not meant to undermine our time of growing together that we're missing right now. But I do hope that this is an opportunity for you to deepen your fellowship with God away from the eyes of the world, so that it can spill over then into the rest of your life. Let me pray for us. God, this is a challenging time to grow in faith, because we don't get to be together. We don't have those hours of worshiping together and seeing one another, listening to each other. We don't have our Sunday school classes to hear each other's thoughts and testimonies and expressions of faith. And I don't want to suggest that that's not a loss. It is. But I do pray that You would work specially during this time in each of our hearts to draw us individually, personally, near to You. Give us each ideas, even as I pray, about how You want us to draw near to You, what You want us to make that look like this week and the weeks ahead. And I pray that as we do draw near to You, that this would be something that when we come back together as a corporate body, will enrich our fellowship together. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.